It's good afternoon. I'm going to call this meeting to order. We'd like to welcome you to the May 22, 2024 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of this commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas of having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or non-profit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development that are visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. This board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within this board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of certificates of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for board decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. So, members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting, and I individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted this month? Hearing none, I move on. The consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards of visual compatibility factors and design standards and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Hearing none, can I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Pam Miller, I make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
Junior Mobley, second.
Okay, call for a vote. Jeff?
Yes.
Junior Mobley, yes.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Okay. Moving on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt today's agenda as posted?
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we approve the agenda as posted.
Katrina Horning, I second.
Jeff?
Approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy Ledvina, approve.
The motion to adopt the agenda has been approved and is passed. Okay, approval of meetings of previous minutes. Meetings from the previous minutes are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve today's minutes?
Virginia Mobley, a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Jeff, if we can approve.
We're going to second first.
We're going to second.
Okay. And you want to, and you approve that vote as well?
I do.
Okay. Thank you. Virginia?
Virginia Mobley approved.
Kirsten Connor approved.
Pat Richardson approved.
Ann Miller approved.
Katrina Horning approved.
Kathy Ledvina approved.
Okay. That motion passes. Are there any items listed that need to be removed from the final agenda today? Okay. Hearing none. We can go on to the continued agenda. These items have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain of that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Can I have a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Pam Miller, so moved.
Virginia Mobley, second.
Jeff Notriga, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy Ledvina, approve.
Okay, so we have one item on the extent that's requested for an extension. Can we have a motion to approve the request for extension? Is there any others today that we need to extend?
Just one.
Just the one.
1018 okay. Abercorn Street.
Okay. Need a motion to approve that.
Pam Miller, motion made to approve that.
Jeff Rodriguez, second.
And Jeff, your vote?
Approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kathy Ledvina, approve.
Okay, fantastic. Now we're going to move on to the regular agenda. Applicants that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, and Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with the recommendation. The petitioner will have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board then will ask the petitioner to limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board then will go into board discussion, at which no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairperson. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. If you are joining us virtually for the first time, locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit comment can use the raise your hand feature. I will be notified and I will call you by name. You will submit your name for the record and then you may comment. Please keep your comments online to 3 minutes or less. Okay, the agenda. First petition today is of Barnard Architects, number 24002524. COA 220 West Bolton Street, rehab and alterations.
So again, the first project at 220 West Bolton, the applicant is requesting approval to create three new openings on the western elevation and to install a new front door at the property. The home is one of six townhomes that were constructed in 1872 and they were owned by John Hamlet, Neff Grimball. The property does appear on the 1888 Sanborn maps with the no OPG, likely meaning no openings on that wall. 220 West Bolton, which is the other corner unit in this complex, is shown to have windows on that elevation based on the 1888 map and has at least one opening still to this day. 220 West Bolton is never noted as having windows on the side elevation on the Sanborn maps. And of course, no historic photos of that elevation were found. So the first part of this project is replacement of the front door. Staff found that the new door meets the standards and doesn't really need to be discussed further. The main concern is with the installation of these new windows on the side elevation. Again, there's no physical evidence of such openings. Also, there's no documentation that the structure had windows on that elevation historically. The elevation in question is also highly visible from the public right away. Installing such windows could create a false sense of history. Also, such work is not easily reversible given that this building is masonry, and it's very difficult to match masonry if those windows were to be removed in the future. There are masonry and clad townhomes with similar windows or decorative elements to reflect windows in the immediate vicinity. While visually compatible, staff finds the proposed work does not meet the Secretary of Interior standards. So with that, staff recommends that the project be, that the three windows be denied on the western elevation, find that the project does not meet the Secretary of Interior standards 2 and 3, and that the installation of the new front door be approved at the same property. Any questions, concerns? And the applicant is here. And
Is the petitioner available?
Yes, yes, hello again. Robert Portman with Barnard Architects. I also have Mr. James Dalton, the owner of the property, who wishes to speak after after I. So, first of all, terrific research on this property. I think it's phenomenal that we know the builders and the owners and the year it was built. And so I thank you for finding that. I have always found this board to be objective, practical, and I hope that during this time you all see and consider our
Could you pull the microphone close to you?
Yeah, so I can hear you a little bit. Don't like talking to microphones, but I'll try. So the overall block of 210 to 220, and I'm going to try to pull this up on, is, you know, here's the breadth of these terrific masons and contractors that did this work. Now we have 210 all the way to 220. And it's interesting to note that 220 has stucco and has a couple windows in it. We don't know why. Possibly the builder wanted windows on his side, but decided not. The other mason decided not to have windows on his side because he's selling brick. He wants to show off the facade. He wants to show his brick off. Maybe, maybe not. The other thing is this was in 1872. There was no electricity. There was no gas. It was dark. Not to put windows in this side. Again, you know, conjecture. Yes, there's wording conjecture that maybe he was selling brick. So here we are. We're asking, our owner has asked to put in these three windows. You've already heard Kelly's presentation earlier, and you heard it again, and now it's my turn. You know, this block has gone through transformations over the years. We don't know if the true nature of the anything historical in the front of this building other than the eyebrows, the windows. These stoops are different. This one's iron here. This looks like brick, yes, and we have brick, but there has been changes and modifications to this building in front of it. We're doing, we're adding three windows. Yes, it's irreversible. It cannot be undone. It doesn't meet the standards. However, when we do this work, we're going to know about it. We're going to know from future generations this work was done. We could alter the window look. We could not put in a brick lintel. We could make it obvious that this is different. From the street up, the street view, again, it's a blank, big brick wall. There's plenty of examples, and I can go through these, of, you know, a lot of brick walls that have windows in them. Why this builder didn't put it in, we don't know. This is an image of 210 West Bolton Street. The left is new. The right is old. We don't know what the age of it is. But, you know, there was a modification here. I guess that was a door. It was filled in. There was a modification there. This is iron. These are iron steps. There's no brick. This was added. Do we know that it was brick in the past? I don't know. It was iron, though, at this point. They got changed to brick. So, again, the argument here is that, yes, we're putting in these three windows. All this wording about standards and interior of department and the Victorian district, understand. However, we're pleading to you, being objectively and practically, that we're requesting these windows, and Mr. Dalton will speak to his reasons why putting these windows in. And that, again, they're not historic. Understand, there's a lot of historical work done to historical buildings that we modify. Other examples of, you know, I don't want to go and belabor this, but brick windows on the side. Brick windows, you know, that looks like there was probably repair done. You know, again, I don't want to belabor it, but there's examples. Those are historic. These are not. But again, we wish for these to be approved. If I may, I'm going to stop my presentation and ask for Mr. Dalton to step up if that's appropriate.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is James Dalton. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm the owner, in conjunction with my wife, of this fine townhouse. And I must say, we moved in March and love it, and love Savannah, having moved from Sarasota, Florida. The reason we're here today, I'm here today, is really a risk mitigation issue. The risks that are inherent in old staircases. Now, there are two staircases in this house that present their own problems. One is the one from the first floor to the bedroom floor, and that is steep. It's fairly structurally sound. The issue with it is, as you get to the top, there's no landing, and so there's a very tight turn, pie-shaped stairs onto the corridor upstairs. And that's a challenge when you're going upstairs. Coming down, depending on the time of day, it's a real issue because it's very dark in that particular corner of the front hallway. And having a wife who's legally blind in her left eye and has a history of breaking legs and ankles here over the last 5 or 6 years. And well, by the way, that happened to me the other night, last week, excuse me. I won't say what stage of sobriety I was in, but nevertheless, I did manage to fall, fortunately, on my keister rather than, you know, head first down the steps. The staircase between the basement and the first floor is one of great character. Each step, tread, has two saucer-shaped cavities in it from the traffic up and down that stairs since whenever. Now, I don't know why there was so much traffic on it, but it is great character. We love it. And instead of going in and ripping it out, we had it supported from underneath so that that character is retained as part of the house. It should be retained. Now, again, the issue there is darkness. It's like a tunnel downstairs. And, you know, mitigation, we've already started, as I say, by supporting the treads there. The second step would be to put a window in there, provide some natural light. And the same is true on the second floor. We're putting in another railing against the wall so that there'll be double support as you come around that sharp corner. But that too would be enhanced by the inclusion of a window in the side wall. Our neighbor has something like 8 windows looking at our side of the house. I'm asking for 2 to look at his side of the house. Kidding. But the bottom line is it's a serious issue, and it's one I'd like you to give serious consideration to. Thank you very much.
Does the board have any questions for either of the petitioning parties? Hearing none, I will call for public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to present a comment today? No, then I guess we'll open it up for borders.
May I speak again?
Sure.
Actually, I just wanted to go to the drawings. As with Mr. Dalton's explanation, so stairs, garden level, window, stairs up, first level, window, bedroom level, window, stairs. That's all I wanted.
Okay, thank you. So now I'm going to open this up for board discussion. Jeff?
I'll pass on this.
Virginia?
Will the brick wall support cutting the window shapes that need to be out? Are you going to jeopardize the integrity?
No, ma'am. I had a conversation with structural engineer, and the face brick, it's multi-white brick. So there's three layers of brick, four layers of brick. So the interior layers of the brick will be supported, and the outer layer will have hidden angles that you won't see from the outside. By putting in the, by installing a lintel, we can cover up any of the imperfections or in steel and the headering. So it'll look, you know, it'll look just like that when it's done without any, steel outside.
Well, the reason I ask is it's quite prevalent in other areas where you see obviously a window has been put in a brick wall where there are cracks that develop.
I can't answer to the cracks. However, the point and the intention is to demonstrate that these are not original windows. So not to mean that it's going to look bad when we get finished with it, but we do want this to not look always look historic. We did something similar to this at River Street Inn facing Factors Walk that's done quite well. That same engineer who helped us with that project that was approved 2017 will be the same engineer on that. So it'll have the sensitivity that was demanded on that project that we'll do here.
Thank you.
Kirsten.
Kirsten Connor. I understand and hear the concerns of the owner and applicant. However, I agree with the staff's recommendation of denial. This would severely alter the historic integrity, also would put it at jeopardy forever receiving historic tax credits in the future. And I just feel like there has to be alternatives to lighting the stairwell, whether it's, I don't know, lights on the tread or on the riser. I feel like there could have been other options explored. So it is a tricky situation, but it is a large alteration. So I think we need to really consider that.
Patricia?
Patricia Richardson. I agree with staff's recommendations. I have empathy for the applicant, but I agree with staff's recommendations.
Pam Miller, as a senior citizen myself with about 17 fractures to my credit, I certainly understand the need for safety. And one of the things we grapple with here is how do we try to help people with certain needs, but also maintain our historic integrity. While I have all the empathy in the world for you and your wife, I would probably feel the same way, but my job here is to make sure that we maintain that integrity. I'm going to have to side with the staff's recommendations, but thank you so much for coming and stay safe and put some bright lights in there, please.
Thank you. Katrina Hornung, I have a couple of questions. If this work is done, do you intend to keep the brick to restore it or to use it in any other application, or are you planning to toss it?
No, these Savannah Grays are very valuable. We will hold on to this brick. We'll find a place for it, either on the property or in the garage, in the carport, in the carriage house. It could be reinstalled elsewhere in the back, in the patio area, where some future we'll be coming to you again for some modifications to the back. So there may be some reuse of that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Actually, it was just the one question. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kathy Levina, I understand the Secretary of Interior standards, and you don't want to create a false sense of history. I think you can add windows without creating that false sense of history. Why there were no windows, my conjecture, there was a jail right next door, and they said this building was built right next door to a jail to the right. I wouldn't want to look out to the jail. The staircase goes up along this wall. Probably that's why maybe their windows weren't added and they were added on the other side. The other side didn't have that staircase going up that wall. Anyway, that all being said, you could do this and maintain a sense of history, meaning this was done today. Obviously, you wouldn't want to do jack arches over the windows. If you want to do straight soldier course with a lintel, you see the lintel. It's visible when you look up at the window. You'll see a piece of iron or metal, whatever you use, galvanized. You could differentiate the brick lintel if you wanted to do a straight soldier course. Jack arches are historic, so I would get away from that historic.
Yes, ma'am.
You could do soldier courses with a different type of brick, even if it's a new Savannah gray brick. That would certainly call attention to it. I would not recommend 6/6. I would do 1/1, again, differentiated from the historic window pattern on the front. Diamond window is pretty much a historic feature. That one, I don't know what the solution is there. But you could certainly employ some of those same ideas, not employ stained glass, maybe in the diamond window where you see, you know, typically on historic homes, you'll see a diamond stained glass window. You could do the same thing with the sills instead of doing the Savannah gray, you know, reusing the Savannah grays that you're taking out of those openings and reusing them on the sills. You could, you know, employ a different a brick. Those are my thoughts. Oh, you can also do forget about the brick and put a cast lintel.
Yes, ma'am.
That you see in a lot of these buildings, the new buildings around town.
We thought
that
of that.
That would be an easy differentiation.
Yeah, we thought
but
about
But you've
it,
got
it.
To make sure you can differentiate.
Yes, ma'am.
If you go to 210, you know, with the stucco build, the stucco covering,
yeah.
There's a 6/6 and a 1/1 over there, and right. You can certainly see the difference.
It's interesting that was stucco, again, going back to the whole brick.
Unless you do more history.
And if I may.
And then you can differentiate by size as well. I'm sorry.
Yes,
you know, the sizes of these windows shouldn't match like the third floor on the building. They should differentiate.
You know,
my thoughts.
And if I may, conversation with Mr. Dalton prior, you know, beforehand, the diamond window is nice. It can be sacrificial. We could, the garden level window and the bedroom window are very necessary, especially the bedroom window for the light. But the diamond window in the hallway is a nice thing, but we can't sacrifice that.
If you differentiate and bring light to that those additions were done in 2024, it will, to my understanding of the Secretary of Interior Standards, it would meet the Secretary of Interior Standards. Yep.
Jeff, do you have any other comment at this point?
No, I think pretty much everything that I would say has been expressed.
Virginia?
I have a question of staff.
Sure, go ahead.
What is the Secretary of State, this interpretation of new additions to historic buildings, such as the windows that Kathy had described?
I'm now blanking on that information.
Is your question for a new addition? I mean, the general gist of the Secretary of the Interior Standards is that new additions to historic buildings should be, as Kathy was noting, clearly identifiable as being later additions of the period. So you don't want to create a false sense of history.
Well, in other words, you can do it, but don't make it look old.
That's the gist of it. But I think also what Kelly noted in her staff report was the Secretary of the Interior Standards also argue against the removal of original historic fabric. And so this wall is a masonry wall that dates from 1872. And so we would argue that that does not meet the Secretary of the Interior standards because you'd be removing, altering what had been designed originally as a blank wall. We don't know the reason for that, but that was the original design of this house, was that there was not fenestration. I know the applicant did a very good job of showing there are houses in Savannah that do have windows on the side, but often that's because of the type of lot they were on, where they maybe were partially freestanding and they had windows. But in this case, that was not. So we would argue that that would not meet the standards because you'd be removing original historic fabric.
Okay, thank you.
Kirsten Connor, I still stand by my previous comment. I did want to ask, though, how close the building is to its neighboring building there.
About 6 feet.
6 feet. Okay. Thank you.
Patricia Richardson, no comment at this time.
Pam Miller, well, considering the fact that even if they change the look, it still wouldn't meet the standards, I'm going to have to stick with my original comment. I was hoping maybe with the removal of the diamond window and changing up that we could somehow do something, but sorry. Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with Kathy in that there are definitely ways and applications with which this could be considered in line with the interior of secretary standards.
Kathy Ledvina, I believe that it's very little fabric that is being removed, and it could certainly be used elsewhere in historic locations. If the diamond window was redesigned or removed, I feel that by adding the two windows and differentiating them considerably, this would continue to meet the Secretary of Interior standards. And if anybody were to buy it after you, they could still meet the Secretary of Interior standards because they're not responsible for what you did.
Okay. Having done our two rounds of discussion, I'm going to entertain a motion.
Kirsten Connor, I motion to deny or to approve staff recommendations to deny the application for 220 West Bolton Street, 2400-2524. Approve the installation of a new front door at the same property.
Do I hear a second?
Pat Richardson, a second.
Okay, and this time I'm going to call for a vote. Jeff?
Approve.
Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, no.
Deny, okay.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, deny.
Kathy Ledvina, deny.
Well, that makes it 1, 2, 4. The motion passes. Thank you. Sorry, folks. Moving on to the next item. Petition of Rose Architects, 2400-2525 COA, 902 Montgomery Street, rehabilitations, alterations, addition.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations and an addition to the non-contributing building located at 902 Montgomery Street for the purpose of becoming a restaurant. Proposed work includes addition of a small office and storage area at the north end of the existing building, adding a new transparent garage doors, and adding an outdoor patio dining area. Just for a little bit of context, 902 Montgomery Street is a non-contributing resource, was built in 1990, and it functioned as a gas station and auto service center. Just for some context, photos of the neighborhood and the building itself as it currently is. All right, so we'll just walk you through the plans here. Sorry, this is running a little slow. Okay. All right, so we have the site plan, proposed materials, floor plans, but just mostly wanted to at least go over the elevations. This will cooperate. I think that the image quality is better on this, but I'm going to go back to the presentation where I can actually pull everything up to show you. Okay, so for the elevations, just showing what exists, there's the addition on the side. It is set back from the front facade. So that would be, and then just adding the garage door. So, I mean, the structure still stays intact, but with the additions, we'll see. Something like this. And the staff found that the zoning standards as well as the design and visual compatibility standards were met. Only thing that we were requesting was just that we found these were definitely appearing visually compatible with just one of the specifications for the new storefront door and window. But aside from that, everything staff found was in compliance. So with that, the recommendation is to approve the request for alterations and in addition for the property at 902 Montgomery Street with the following condition to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. Provide product specifications for the new storefront window and door on the south elevation. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, do you have any questions for staff? Hearing none, can I have the petitioner step forward? State your name for the record, please.
Hello, Kevin Rose, Rose Architects. Thank you for letting me present today. I'd just like to go ahead and agree with the staff and kind of cut to the chase here.
It's so you have no objections to the report and you're willing to?
If I did, I'd be a fool, but that's still out, you know, for question, but, you know, we agree with the staff. We're going to locate the best storefront that we can with the right lead time, and we'll provide that when we go for permit and for them to approve along with the details.
Okay.
If there's any other questions while I'm standing here about the project.
Captain Levine, I've got a question. Your perimeter fence, they're real hedges. Are you doing anything structural behind those hedges or no?
It's kind of a landscape thing. We haven't quite the hedges. We don't really know. We're doing some planters. We're doing planters out there, so which are 3 feet high or less, which you know, do that. And just so you know, the reason we're doing the addition on the outside is so that we could maintain the kind of the purity of the existing garage spaces so that we moved the storage and the office and things like that out. Which also helps to buffer from the neighbor whose you know, residence is right next door.
So they're permanent, but not. They're large planters that
they're,
will be
yeah, they're large
secured
planters.
To
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
And then in the intervening, just live hedges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question. Are the bay doors going to be operational or are they going to be stationary?
They'll be operational, yes. Clopay doors are.
Were there actually three bays there? I don't remember three. I remember two.
There are. Originally, there were two, and there was an addition done probably 15 years ago. That's I don't know when it was done, but it's definitely not the original part of the building. That third.
Is it set back?
Not really. It's
okay.
The door is a different size.
Three or four times a week, and
yeah.
Don't remember a third door.
Well, clearly it doesn't. It's not obtrusive because you didn't notice. So it's good, right?
Is that all?
Anybody else got anything?
Thank you all so much.
Thank you. So now, does anybody have any questions for staff or anybody else? Is there any public comment? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC would like to express support of the proposed rehabilitation. Although the building is listed as non-contributing, the proposed changes breathe new life into the building while still recognizing the building's past. We appreciate the full use of the site and believe it is smart and appropriate to have the planter buffer between the site and the active street.
Thank you. We can now enter into board discussion. Is there any, oh, do I ask, is there no one online, is there? No. Okay, good. Jeff?
I like this petition. I have nothing to add to the conversation.
Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
Yes.
Kirsten Connor, no comment at this time.
Pat Richardson, no comments.
Pam Miller, no comment at this time.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Kathleen Bayan, no comments.
Okay. Do we need to go for a second round as soon as nobody had anything to say? Then I'm going to entertain a motion.
Pam Miller, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Rose Architects, 24002525COA, 902 Montgomery Street, as submitted with the following conditions. Provide product specifications for the new storefront window and door on the south elevation as per the staff. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Katrina Horner, I second.
Thank you. Kathy?
Kathy Lidvina, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving on to the petition of Roy Menard, number 24002649COA, 1104 Montgomery Street, rehab and alterations.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. So the property in question is right here. I'm sure we've all driven by it. It is a non-contributing building. As best we could tell, was constructed circa 1940, as you can probably guess. It's seen a lot of alterations over the years, both to its fenestration. It originally also had a flat roof, which it does not have, as you can see here presently. So the applicant is proposing a series of alterations to the exterior expression of this building. They're not proposing any other changes to the site. So I'm just going to walk you through this. Yeah. So here we go. Again, here's some photos of the site, front and side elevation. The space between the building to the south, and then the rear elevation. And so what's being proposed, the existing fenestration pattern is here on the top. What they're proposing to do is to change it, introduce two new storefronts, as well as rework the facade overall. This is a rendering of what is being proposed. They also included, we appreciate the applicant including pretty detailed description of the different materials that are being included. So in terms of staff's review of this, I did have a conversation with the applicant. I believe the applicant is going to be online, not here in person. But just to bring you up to speed, it will be true stucco over masonry, as we all know from past discussions. The applicant, I don't believe, is actually proposing any lighting at this time, but I'll let the applicant address that. The awnings are going to be done separately. So even though they're on the renderings, they're not part of this actual application. They clarified that. And there's no signage as part of this application. The only other standard that you note there, condition, I should say, related to a standard number two, revise the proposed material for the storefront base to meet the standard. So I'm sure you all are aware. The ordinance does not allow for stucco to be used as the base of a storefront. And so in order to meet the standard, talk to the applicant. They agreed to work with staff to come up with a different material that would meet the standard. And with that, overall, I guess in the summary, staff feels it's a visual improvement over the existing building, which I think it's fair to say probably not the most beloved building in the city of Savannah in its current condition. And with that, if you have any questions, or I can turn it over to the applicant.
If the applicant can state their name for the record.
It's Roy, right? Can you hear us, sir? Yeah, he's on mute.
So the applicant, you're off mute. If you could speak, if you have access to a microphone, that'd be great.
He's unmuted on his end to you and from our end to you, sir. I'm sure there's a connection problem. Could you reconnect, please, if you can hear us?
It works. It's amazing.
While we have the time, you probably all know this, but it says the reason we put that condition is storefront bases shall consist of wood, bronze, glazed brick, or tile. That's what the ordinance says. So.
May I ask a question of staff while we're waiting?
Sure.
The facade is going to be stucco, you said?
Yes.
Is it scored to look like brick? I mean, block.
Blocks, yes, yeah.
I've got a question to ask as well. So looking at the design of the stucco, I have the same question, I think, Virginia. Are they rebuilding that kind of block? Have you seen the plans? And then they'll stucco over a new block? Or, I mean, as long as they know that the EFS is not allowed, because that's how typically they would stucco with using that design.
I believe he's here now.
Because this says people can hear me, but they're not responding. Otherwise, I'd let you just jump on me.
Where?
I just brought it up over here.
Hi, Roy, is that you?
Hello.
Hi, Roy. This is Jonathan from the Metropolitan Planning Commission. We're here at the Historic Preservation Commission meeting.
Right.
I don't know if you've been able to hear it. I presented my staff report, and we're entertaining some questions from the members of the commission. I noted that you and I had spoken, and that the awnings and signage and lighting would be coming in later. And that you agreed to work with staff on the proposed material for the base of the storefronts. and that it would be true stucco.
Right. The having a difficult time hearing, but yes, we are willing to work with the staff to find a compatible material for the base, either metal or some other tile covering, but that's not an issue for us.
And then Ms. Levina was asking Roy, we've discussed that it has to be true stucco over masonry. You'll be removing the existing material that's on there, correct?
I can barely hear.
Just say that. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I can barely kind of hear what you're saying, but I'm still trying to connect.
We can hear you clearly. Can you hear us, Roy?
I can barely hear, but I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you clearly.
All right. Okay, just repeat the question again.
So it's going to be true stucco, as you and I discussed on the phone the other day, over masonry. You're going to be removing the existing material from the facade, which is some kind of ephes or something.
That's correct.
Thank you, Roy.
Katrina Hornung, looking at the street view, it appears that the door at 1102 is got a significant step up. Is that planned to be brought down? It looks like it on the drawing.
Yes.
I want to double.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yes. Yeah, I think the existing building was jerry-rigged, shall we say, or however you want to phrase it, over the years.
Kathy Levina, one other question I have is how are they going to disperse the water? Since the roof is going to be a flat roof and it slopes back and pours in between the two buildings, I would be remiss if I didn't mention all the water that is going to be soaking both of their foundations. Is there a plan to remove the water from between the two buildings?
Roy, did you hear that question? Ms. Levina was asking about how you're planning to handle stormwater from the new roof.
Okay, we have a gutter system going on the back wall with a leader going down the building, and then we will pipe the leader out to the sidewall.
Thank you, Roy.
Does anybody have any further questions for the petitioner?
I think this might be of staff, but you quickly made a reference when we were trying to connect about the materials used on the storefront windows, that metal, as seen in the picture, was not necessarily approved. Have you discussed that with the applicant?
So the storefronts are going to be metal, which is allowed. The only issue was the base of the storefronts. According to the ordinance, you can't have a base that's made out of stucco. So the applicant has stated, I believe again today, that he will work with staff to come up with a different material.
Okay, so you were referring to the base. Not
just
the
base, yes.
Material.
You're just not allowed to put stucco on the base. And we think that makes sense. As you probably know, it can get kind of damaged.
Do we know what the building is constructed, the construction of the building underneath the stucco?
It's masonry construction, yeah. But again, it's been, as you can probably tell from this photo, it's been tinkered with.
Is there any public comment? Hearing none, I will enter board discussion. Jeff, anything?
I think it's a pretty thoughtful adaptation of what they've got to work with. I like it.
Virginia?
No further comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Trisha. Pat Richardson, no comment.
Yeah, Miller, no comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Kathy Lipina, my questions were answered.
Okay. I don't see any need to go through a second round of discussion, so can I entertain the motion or have somebody forward a motion?
Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Roy Maynard, 24002649 COA, 1104 Montgomery Street, with the following conditions, conditions 1 through 5 per the staff recommendations, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinances.
Kathy Lidvina, second.
Kathy, your vote.
Kathy Lidvina, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Jeff Natriga, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy.
Next on the agenda, we have the petition of Mark and Nina Gibbs, 24002513 COA, 818 West 37th Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
So the applicant is requesting repair work on the siding, fence, and side porch, as well as to alter an existing window opening at the property located at 818 West 37th Street. So the property itself was constructed in 1905. It was moved from what was previously a corner lot into its current location previously. It retained the same footprint from 1916 up until the 1960s. In the early 2000s, as you can see in these photos, a two-story rear addition was added to the home. Three windows were also installed sometime between November 2007 and August 2012. It's a little diamond window that you see right here. That was altered to a double hung window sometime after March of 2022 without staff review or staff approval. The front porch columns were also altered sometime between January 2016 and August 2017. So currently the applicants are requesting to convert this window, which again was previously that diamond shaped, now double hung back to the diamond window. While this is not a typical design, staff finds that this could be appropriate given that there was such a window there previously. At the time of writing the report, the proposed window did not meet the standards. The applicant has since provided spec for an all-wood window that would meet the standards in this case. The applicant also requests to replace slight siding on the Bullet Street side, so that's the side elevation, as well as on the rear. They are proposing cedar siding, which is appropriate. We just need to know the reveal of the siding to make sure it's not matched what's remaining. With regards to the porches, the applicant is requesting to repair the handrails, steps, as well as the ceiling on this side porch. The applicant agreed to install the handrails at no taller than 3 feet. Staff does request additional information just so we can confirm this. Staff also needs to confirm that the balustrades will be no more than 4 inches on center. The staff report fails to mention that they also intend to replace the ceiling on the front porch as well. Materials that they are proposing meets the standards. We need to confirm one more time what exactly they're proposing. And then there is a gate on the side over here that they are proposing to replace. The height, width, materials, all that meet the standards as well. So with that, staff recommends approval of the proposed repair work on the siding, fence, and side porch, as well as the alteration of existing opening at the property located at 818 West 37th Street with the following conditions, because the work is otherwise visually compatible. And the conditions are right there. Does staff have any questions? Does the board have any questions? Sorry.
Any questions, folks, for staff? You got to turn your mic on.
Mic back on.
Quick on the draw.
Kathy Lidvina, quick question for staff. The cedar siding, you looked at it and it matches the existing?
We have not actually looked at the actual wood yet, but we can put that as a condition if you want to see it before it's installed.
I was just making sure that it, you know, was solid cedar, wasn't finger jointed.
And you can ask
matches
that.
And reveal and all that kind of stuff and, you know, the beading and stuff like that.
We are asking for the reveal to be confirmed because... But you can ask the applicant if you like as well.
All right. And what about roof repairs? Did they mention roof repairs to you?
No.
Any other questions for staff?
No, but I need to would like to point out that the staff researched or asked why the staff researched West Jones Street on this particular petition.
I must have put the wrong research in the.
Okay.
I'll do West Jones for another project, so.
Okay.
Is the petitioner available to speak to the project? Please step forward and state your name.
Hello, Mark Gibbs.
Good afternoon. Have you got any comment regarding staff's response to your proposal?
Yeah, my only comments are that we do agree to approve. We only want to make 818 watertight and restore her beauty to the community. We've been working with Kelly on all her requirements, and we'll continue to. Your question about the cedar siding, I took down a small section that had been rotted, took it to Gary's Lumber, and matched it up with them. It is just a rectangle board. There is no grooves or slats or anything like that.
What about the roof repair?
So the ceiling underneath the roof has like rot in it, but I don't know if that's because of the roof. So until I can take that down and see, I won't know if I can need to repair the roof. And if I do, I will, of course, apply for another COA.
Okay. Any other questions for the petitioner? Is there any public comment? Then we'll move to board discussion. Jeff, do you have anything to contribute?
No comments.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Pam Miller, I have no questions at this time.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Kathy Ledbina, no comment.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a second round. So can I have a motion, please?
Katrina Hornung. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Mark and Nina Gibbs, 24000-2513 COA, 818 West 37th Street, as submitted with staff recommendations 1-4, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second.
Jeff Rica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Ledbina, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay, next on our agenda today, Streetcar District. Petition of Real Investment Savannah, Enid Adams, 24000-2098 COA, 536 Siler Avenue. Amendment to 23001783.
So again, this is an amendment to a previously approved COA for this property. Alterations were made to the primary and secondary structures without review by staff or by the HPC. The applicant is requesting approval to retain the changes as is. So some quick project background. An application was received in 2023 for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, to construct a 2-story duplex and a carriage house at 536 Siler Avenue. This project was heard at the April 2023 HPC meeting. The board chose to approve the project with 2 conditions. Those conditions were met. Staff stamped the drawings in May 2023 and then restamped another set in October of 2023. There were no major exterior changes between the 2 sets of drawings. Deviations were found in the construction after staff was notified of the work and after an inspection was carried out. Staff met with the applicant on site and an amendment was submitted to keep the work as is. So the following inconsistencies were found with the project. One is with the window configuration and sizes. As approved, the windows were supposed to be 2/2. These were all the windows. As constructed or as installed, they were 1/1. Multiple windows also changed size. There were also alterations to the front porch design. A different brick was used compared to what was approved. Express piers were only found on the corners, whereas approved, they're supposed to be throughout the foundation. Also, the applicant constructed 1 set of stairs instead of 2 as shown on the plans.
The doors were proved to be wood, instead steel doors were installed. 3 canopy or herd type structures were also installed. One is found on the rear of the primary structure. And the other 2 are found on the accessory structure, one over the second story door, and then one over the first story door, a first floor door. None of these were approved. Design of the accessory unit stairs were also altered from their approved design. The Siler Avenue elevation of the accessory unit was also altered in design. It's kind of hard to see here, but as approved, it's supposed to have 2 garage doors with a pedestrian door. As instructed, it has 1 garage door, a pair of windows, and a pedestrian door. Select fencing was also approved on the HVAC and the trash units. Instead, a full privacy fence was installed with vinyl material. And finally, the exterior wall material was supposed to be fiber cement, smooth stamped siding was used instead. And all this work was done without staff review. Staff also checked with the building department records to see if any revisions were received by them, and staff could not find any revisions in their records. So staff will focus on the elements that do not meet the standards. So the primary issue in this case are the front second story windows. The windows appear square in shape than what is shown on the elevation drawings, which is seen right here. The issue may have partially been caused by staff oversight and an error in the plans. The floor plans provide one dimension that would create a square window while the elevations reflect a more traditional window size. Dimensions as shown on the plans measured by the applicant and shown on the sticker on the windows were provided in the staff report. It's worth noting that it appears that the applicant measured a portion of the trim work as well. Staff does not consider that part of the overall measurement, though the board may interpret that differently. Under the current standards, windows need to be taller than they are wide. Even with the oversight by staff, what was installed is smaller than what was approved either on the floor plans or on the elevation. Given the previous error, staff recommends that the windows be installed per one of the approved dimensions. Second issue is with the foundation. The porch foundation was constructed only with express piers on the corners. There was supposed to be express piers under these elements as well. Per the standards, front porches still have express piers. Staff finds that the standard is not met and that it should be corrected. Of the 3 canopy hood type elements that were installed, staff finds the one over the second doors to be the only one that does not meet the standards. It appears to be some form of cantilever type element. Though this is seen on select buildings, it's not very common in this district and it's not seen this type of building. So staff would recommend a different type of element be installed with some form of bracketing or post to the bottom, top of the stairs. Finally, the fence is the final issue. As approved, there were several fences in the design, but what was installed was a vinyl privacy fence. Design in of itself is not an issue, it's the materials that's the primary issue. Staff found that the remainder of the other inconsistencies did meet the standards and do not need to be discussed. So with that, staff recommends approval of the amendment to the previous certificate of appropriateness for 536 Siler Avenue for the following changes as requested. Because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. So 1, the steel doors. 2, the masonry on the front porch. 3, the canopy hoods on the rear doors on the primary building and first floor of the accessory structure. 4, the exterior stairs to the accessory structure. 5, the siding on both structures. 6, the design of the stairs in the front porch. 7, the window configuration for all windows and the size of the larger windows and the side elevations. And 8, the design of the first floor elevation of the accessory structure. And deny the amendment for the previous COA for the changes because the work is not visually compatible and does not meet the standards for fencing and walls, foundations new construction, and windows new construction. The size of the windows on the second floor on the primary building's front facade, the vinyl privacy fence, the hood canopy element over the second story door on the accessory building, and the configuration for the front porch foundation. That was a lot. So if y'all have any questions, feel free to ask.
Anybody have any questions for staff?
Catherine Levine, one question. The windows on the secondary facades, what was in,
what measurements were intended and what was installed?
I'm going to jump on, piggyback on that. And what was the actual standard that you all made a mistake on? What's the actual size that they should be?
I don't have that in the staff report, so give me 2 seconds to pull that up. Okay. So for the floor plans, the front elevation of the second floor was 36 by 42 inches. So that's 3 by 3.5 feet. The side elevation larger windows was 24 by 64 inches.
And what was originally planned?
That was on the foundation. That was on the floor plan. Elevations were showing 36 by 65 inches elevation. And then the larger windows on the sides were 24 by 36. What was installed per the stickers in the window, those are going to be fairly accurate, was for the front facade, second floors, 30 1/8 inches by 32 7/8 inches. Side elevations were 16 1/8 inches by 52 7/8 inches. A lot of numbers.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a question for staff? Hearing none, would the petitioner like to step forward and state their name for the record? Could you please step forward and state your name for the record?
Thank you so much. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ina Adams, and I represent Real Investment Savannah in this project, and I was the one overseeing the project. I'm the owner, and I plan this building for my family. We are from Ukraine, so I have my family, my brother, and our parents. That's why some of those alterations were made, which were approved. They were made, you know, strictly to the reason of, for example, stairs going two flights instead of one, knowing that my parents are elder people. You know, they need to walk. The canopies over the doors added only with the reasoning of improving the functionality of those doors, because you don't want to come up and be in the rain right away. So I'll just honestly want to address most of these issues that were denied, and basically two of them, because through talking with the staff, yes, we met, and they said the main problem is this windows on the second floor. And let me see if I can... There's another measurement. So basically, I hoped I would have the plans. I didn't have plans. So one of the major problem between which caused all of this is that the front elevations show different picture than the measurement itself. And I found that out when there was an, in the stage when it was framing, I come and I see these windows upstairs, and I ask reasonable question, why we have such windows which look square, right? And just think of numbers, and that's what you will see. I'll show you. It's 36 by 42. And I did my homework just for visual, because I cannot visualize numbers when I see them on a plan. But when that was built, that's what. And this basically what you will see. We will show you picture again. That's what basically we have. They're not strictly square, but when you look at them, they pertain to look square. when I made this mapping of a window and I asked my family, they say it's more square than it's rectangular. And now I totally understand. 36 by 42, it's almost square. It won't. In order to have those windows which look on elevation, the length of a window has to be close to double than the width. So that's not what I like. Trust me. I want to live in this house and I wanted nice, good, big windows. But when I come and construction done and the framer tells me that's on the plan, so what can I say? I say, no, it's not, it's on the plan. But by that time, you know, we do historic house and historic windows take time to order. They take time to arrive. It's months upon months. So when you start construction, you order windows. It's a parallel. And I can tell you what are sizes, exact sizes of the windows. I did read staff report and there was some stickers which I looked through pictures were not legible for me. I don't really understand, but I have my order from Home Depot where I came and we specifically pulled all the, historic, they had this paper, which what is historic windows, what they have available. And that's what we produced was strictly in consideration with the historic standard. And here I will give you this example. It says that rough opening width 36 1/8, that's the window which is installed, and rough opening height 43 1/4. 43 1/4 is almost 41 inch, which on the plan is 42. So rough opening, which is built 36 by 42, we put windows which are 36 1/8 by 43 1/4. That's what I would like also. I don't know if you would like to see this. And it says six windows, which windows, wooden double hung. So I'm here very surprised to defend one of the feature which I was also very much upset with. And I strictly believe that you're right. I just know that there is no, like, per staff recommendation, build the windows according to the plan. This is window according to the plan. You don't like it already. It's a mistake which, you know, somebody made a mistake and we have to say it was a mistake. But if you want it to be corrected the right way, like that length looks longer than, you know, weeds, my question is who will pay for that mistake? Because I don't have budget for that. You know, historic windows cost a lot of money, cost a lot of time to bring them, to install them, to paint them. You know, vinyl windows, it's such a different story. And the point is that that's what I do for a living. I now build new construction. So this home I build for myself, but I build other houses. And being in that profession, I know how easy it is to deal with vinyl windows, and I know how difficult it is to go all through this process, through all the hassle of meeting the standards and finding yourself in a situation where you have to defend something that. And I wanted to tell you one thing. I bought this lot with these plans. I didn't defend, I didn't request this project. I didn't defend it here with you. I inherited it. When I was looking at all the staff notification saying door steel instead of wooden, I realized I didn't receive even spec of materials, which, you know, brick, this or that. I'm like, I never seen that, what brick it should be. I know standard is it should be masonry. It should be steel or wood door, right? And it looks similar to what the plan shows. And looking at those standards, yes, we try the accommodate all those standards. And you see that those little small alterations they made only, not even with our personal choice, like maybe personal choice, like wooden door, steel door, which would you prefer? Would you prefer wooden, which, you know, lots of problems being in construction, first going through remodeling, now new construction, dealing with certain materials, you know, you want them or not. So, you know, those choices are made very practical choices, very practical choices. So with these windows, I'm sorry I'm taking this much time, but I had to express you know, my feelings about it, because I do have feelings. I don't like it. Trust me, I don't. What do we do about it? To reconstruct, my question again, who pays for that? Because I see thousands upon thousands to do that, and time, because also manufacturers, they have these window standards, which architects, they don't put that on the plan. They put window opening and you fit in the window which fits in that opening. It's not, you know, nailing signs. None of the construction that I had says one side and exact same size available in the store. These are custom windows. So we already tried, and look at this, 36 1/8, 43 4. How close, or much closer can it be to 36 by 42? That's my question, where
Ms. Adams, can I ask you a question? When did you start work on this project? When did you start work on this project?
To start working, let's see, windows were ordered in November.
When did you start work construction on the project?
Stop or start?
Start.
Start.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, like I look at order, it's November 2023.
So that's when you started the build, when you broke ground?
That's close to this date, because windows
were... And you purchased it before you broke ground, right?
I purchased it before. I probably purchased it in... I might be wrong. I can check it. Probably like July. It had
July
to go through
year?
The processes.
Okay. So you bought it in July of last year?
It took some months to approve permit, because that's why you heard the staff said we had two approved plans, because, you know, city said move some building, we moved. So it took some time to approve. Yeah.
It subsequently sold again on the 1st of April this year. So according to.
1st of April, what is that?
It transferred ownership again at the beginning of April.
No, it can't be the truth.
523 Siler, yes.
36.
Oh, 536, I'm sorry. My apologies. I got the wrong address in.
I'm sorry. No, we bought it again. I can't tell you exact, but I can look it up. It's sometime in July. We had time. Again, everything takes time to approve permits, to, you know, they had the comments. We reached out back to historic committee.
So the previous owner didn't provide you with any of the information they provided to the historic board review?
And that's what they provided. They say we sell with the plans. So that's what we inherited.
Okay.
We inherited this project, which was approved, and we have stamp on it, you know? So
right.
When I come...
It was approved by us through that process, yes?
Yes.
But they didn't give you any of the specifications that would...
I received just plans.
Okay, so you didn't think to reach out to this organization to ask any questions, knowing that it was in a historic district.
I reach out for plans and discuss some plans. Is it
to this organization or just to the city?
This organization to discuss plans and receive stamp second time.
Okay.
And trust me on that. At this point, I don't remember exact my conversation, but if that's something needed, we can go further into it. The question is, if it's steel door, wooden door, it actually didn't matter much, right? What mattered is these windows, which were approved, and, you know, obviously plan had a mistake. And my whole point here, I'm standing because I'm trying to understand who pays for this mistake, because is it me? Is it me? And why me? Somebody drew the plan, made a mistake, then people, I don't know, whatever was approval point, approved it, then approved second time. And, you know, that's a picture. Can you? Oh, you can't see the picture. They don't see. Sorry, I just see the house there. I'm like, it's a house, and houses in the window. I'm so sorry. So just looking at this measurement tape shows the size which window should be. So window has its frame, and it's not even including the full trim around it. That's the lens. That's the paper which I had in my have in my hand, and that's what says rough opening width 36 1/8, and rough opening height 30 3/4, and you see it's six windows. Oh, when we speak, there are no square windows. This is the same street, just a couple of houses down the road, 519 Silo Avenue, built 1900. And these windows look, you know, they look square to me. When I started looking around, I'm analyzing how historic these houses are, what exactly the historic features are they preserved, are we so far away from not matching the rest of the neighborhood. And that's one of the houses which can justify having the other square windows. They're not square. By the way, they're not square. They look square. They look square windows.
Chair, can I address that? Or do I need to wait? That is a later addition, though. That is not a historic portion of the house.
It doesn't look historic, I must admit. Yeah. I'm just saying.
And it was, it would have been done before this was likely a historic district.
And you know, this only became historic district or this piece of this Silas Street in 2019. So that's also, you know, the question, okay, this is already here. Now we have our house, which only tried to follow different methods, ended up into similar situation. That's about windows. Do you have any questions about windows? Because I want to speak about another item of a denial.
You have a limited time limit, so you.
I'm sorry.
You do have a limit on the amount of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll go through the rest. So speaking of a vinyl fence, again, that's something that happened in a way, yes, without approval, and now I understand it's not a material that's used in historic district. At that point, the contractor did recommend and insisted, and I didn't understand that house and the fence should be have the same standards for them. So vinyl fence is installed. It's the fence which will last much longer, will keep its beauty for much longer, will not need the upkeep the wooden fence in that amount would need. You see, if you saw in the pictures, I'll show you later too, it's a long fence, and you know, wooden fence is 2 years and they move, they look ugly, and so many other reasons. And you know, at this point I understand, and I would love to be in the point of not putting it in, or, but the whole point of having is broad as a street which divides one side is and on one side is very historic, and we have vinyl fence. The other side of the same fence was on the other side, and person writes is broad on the other side, that would be okay. And people say, that's fine, that's not historic. But I look at on the other side, and houses look so historic to me. I actually didn't put here, but corner house is such a beautiful 1900. And I'm like, I'm amazed, this is not historic. So in a way, I do have in me this request for you for some sort of exception, and I have a little solution I'll show you. But again, looking at 511 Silo Avenue, the whole house is built with vinyl. Vinyl windows, vinyl outside, good standing, will stand for a long time because, you know, it's a good one. Again, 511 East 37th Street, the same block, the same historic district. Look, people find the solution here. They have totally vinyl fence. They put the iron rod in front of it, and now it counts that it's iron rod fence. Yeah, it's right there, 37th Street. I ride it a lot. I know people ride a lot this street, very popular, and I believe it's historic. This does look historic. Every property reminds me of history in Savannah. This is existing in Savannah in this area. Another project, it's just I started riding neighborhood and decide to see what's around me. 2017 Harbersham Street, built 1900. The other property is also 1900. You see Harbersham and 36, very historic. Harbersham Street, very nice. I would fight for it too to stay historic. This is vinyl house, vinyl siding. Look at size of the windows on this side, very prominent. Looking at Harbersham Street, look, again, that's my question. How much we can judge, which can we be not biased here? That's, you know, I have... Looking at the front of this house, I see no columns, no masonry columns,
Ms. Adams,
yeah.
The issue, we understand what you're trying to point out. And as you acknowledged, that the district became a historic district in 2019. So standards that were in place after that point are applicable. Things that were put in place prior to that date are not applicable. It's a bit like homes in the Victorian district that have asbestos siding that cover up original historic wood siding. There's nothing you can do about that, and you don't want to remove the asbestos, so you don't want to go to what is below. However, if you were to redo today, I can't put up a different siding on my historic home. I have to apply what is there, and that's just what it is because it's what I bought in the district I bought in. It's like joining an HOA association. It isn't what our personal opinions are. That's what the HOA has, a set of parameters, and when you move into that neighborhood, that's what you agree to and you comply by, or there are actions taken against it.
Again.
So there are homes that do have vinyl, but they will have predated this ordinance being put into place. Otherwise, they will be asked to be removed. And the same with any plans or alterations regarding windows and siding on properties and et cetera, et cetera.
I'm just trying to speak of something that was done too. If I was discussing a project which wasn't put so much effort, money, time into.
If you are a real estate agent, you realize in Georgia it's buyer beware. And you have practiced as a real estate agent for 6 years in this area. So you do understand that there are historic districts and that you've acknowledged that you came to this board and knew or came to this, the MPC and knew that the plans had been filed in a historic district. So you were aware of some of that information.
I am not arguing that I was not.
Okay. So after the fact that the process has gone through construction and there are elements that you found out that you aren't in compliance with, you're asking us to forgive you after the fact.
And
even though
I am,
your due diligence could have been making
that's
sure
what I'm
that
here
you,
for.
Had, you were conversing with staff throughout the project to ensure that you were in compliance at every stage and point.
Again, things happened to me very suddenly and unexpected where
you as the project manager accept responsibility for that because you've done other projects and builds. And this time it's in a historic district, which requires a certain level of greater attention to detail compared to neighborhoods on the other side of East Broad Street where the demarcation line ends.
So I just would like to know your opinion because I hear you. Is there a possibility the next door lot, if you can see in the picture, looks like this right now next to that fence.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility to plant grass or plants like this and make that fence look like this? And it's not that I specifically prefer,
Yeah, you still have to have a wood fence below it. It doesn't disguise the fact that what's below it, even if you've got vinyl grout.
So I ask about, again, that what I've seen also. As this example.
Right, but you're going back to referring to something that existed prior to 2019 in that neighborhood and before the ordinance was put into place.
Today,
could they go back and reinstall that? Absolutely not.
They cannot.
No, they can. If they replace that fence from this point forward, it will have to be a wood fence.
I see people made some corrections. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like corrections are made and, that's what I requested to make some corrections.
Okay. We've now exceeded our time limit, so I'm going to open it up for any staff questions or any questions by the board to you.
Kathy Lidvine, I've got a question. You asked if we had any questions on the windows.
Yes.
You explained the windows on the front facade, but what happened to the windows on the secondary facades? Why were they not installed per plans?
They were. I have sizes here. The sizes which were mentioned, I read the petition. It says that they took it from some labels. We looked at the pictures. I can't decipher any label there, but I have sizes.
Explain to me that the size was 24 inches wide and the as-builts are 18 inches wide. That's a third.
I have all the windows with me right now, and I can tell you.
Am I mistaken? Staff, am I mistaken?
I just want to check which one. So these are the windows.
Yeah. you know, invade your space. So one of the challenges with this project, and we appreciate the applicant being here in person, as we'd recommended, we go back. All the windows are wrong in that they were supposed to be 2/2. So first of all, that's an issue. The size, I don't believe it was noted in the staff report, but even if you look at this first bay here, facing Broad Street, the windows are actually, some of the windows are not aligned from the first floor to the second floor, which again is a change. As I mentioned, you know, we met with the applicant, we've tried to work with the applicant, and we've tried to be, we think very reasonable in terms of, but literally when we first went out there, and I was very upfront with you, we had like 3 pages of things that were not correct. And the challenge for us as staff, as our chair was saying, is this was approved by this commission. Everyone right across the street, this commission just heard a proposal for 2 new houses. They're going to be built right across the street from you that are very nice. I actually just stamped those plans today for that applicant. That applicant is expected to build what is on those plans. And the challenge is that, you know, when we met at the site, you said to me, you know, we kind of use this as a guide. The plans that were approved are to be followed, because if we allow you to not follow the plans, what do we say to everybody else? Why does this commission exist?
It becomes the Wild West at that point, and we're not going to be able to do that, unfortunately.
So what was the reasoning of the windows not being followed then?
The reason, windows openings were followed by the plan. And again, I have window sizes right here. They not followed in a having line in the middle because of the narrowness of these windows.
Correct. And if you followed the plans and they were 24 inches, you probably could have gotten that 2/2 design. So
there,
I don't
right
understand
now,
why they went from 24 inches to 18 inches.
They went from 24 to 21 3/8, so basically 22 window opening. Framer built window openings according to the plan, which is rough opening. And rough opening, you insert the window. That window is 21 3/8. Maybe it's a side one. This is says 44 inch. I don't know which.
I think one of the challenges here is we're having a kind of misunderstanding about when we spec a window, it's the measurement of the window, not the entire framing of that window. And so I think as Kelly was trying to explain, that's where we're running into some dimensional issues. But again, all the windows do not meet, when I'm talking about the actual design of the windows. We talked about this. You made the decision, or your contractor, to put in windows that did not comply with what this commission approved. That was your personal decision. You said when we were out at the site, you preferred double hung just as opposed to 2/2.
Yeah,
so that was, like, I just want to be clear, it wasn't, that was just, you decided.
Yes. The whole point of not having the line in between, it's a personal preference. It's a matter of a look, yes, with this narrow windows to have the line in between to take the light. And these are actually narrow windows in general, which.
My concern is visual compatibility and solids to voids, and just the skinniness almost. it's almost exact opposite of square. Now you've got very long, very narrow windows that,
yeah,
again, are 20. Not visually compatible with window openings throughout the historic district. So the compromise here is allowing the secondary windows to remain and asking for a replacement on the primary facade. Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, as I understand, Jonathan, you said there was no window schedule provided by the architect? Has there been any communication between you and the architect, or were you just handed drawings?
Yes, so I did reach out to the original project architect who was looking to find all the information. So we're hoping to still get some supplemental information, but I'm paraphrasing what she told me, that the house that was built is not the house that they designed. That they had seen there were many, many changes. And I will just say, we don't have the ability, as staff, we talked about this when we were out there, we don't have a bucket truck to go up, but even just when you're eyeballing it from the front, there were a lot of other concerns that we had. And so we're trying to work with the applicant. We understand she's moving there. We're trying to be reasonable here and kind of come to a compromise solution to allow her to move into her home with her family while improving the visual compatibility. But I would say in terms of staff, we felt that if we actually were to measure every floor height and roof pitch and everything as per what the architect told me who designed it, that there are probably another couple hundred issues related to how it was actually built. Because if you look at the plans and you look at that, if you walk on the street, it's not, they don't jive with each other. But we're trying to work with the applicant to be reasonable and try to have a compromise here.
Okay. How do you look?
I got a question for staff again. So in the process, they submit for the building permit. That permit comes to the MPC. They stamp off that it meets the criteria as approved by this board, correct?
Correct, yes. So,
and what they actually built is just completely different than anything that was approved on those permit plans. Is that correct?
He's not asking.
Adams, you were given your opportunity to speak.
No. To answer your question, Jeff. So.
Or let's just limit it to the question of the windows. So the windows that would have been on these stamped permitted plans would have been completely different types and completely different dimensions?
Yes.
Every window?
The vast majority of them. I mean, every window is the wrong type, yes. Okay. Every window is wrong.
And in regards to what are they, how are they the wrong type?
They're meant to be 2/2.
Okay, there you go.
Are these vinyl windows that are installed?
No, they're not vinyl windows.
Okay, they're wood windows. Okay, thank you.
Kathy Levine, a quick question for staff. The balusters, the balustrade that you see, is it 4 inches on center?
I have not checked what was constructed, but what was approved should have been, yeah.
Yeah, Miller, I have a comment.
Comment or question? Because we go to board discussion for comments, right?
I'll wait for my comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for the petitioner or for staff before we enter board discussion? Or we also have to wait for public comment? Okay.
And just for clarity.
You need to put your forward for your record, please. So we're going to ask for the public comment at this point.
And just for some clarity real quick, this is the reference to the floor plan dimensions. 24x64, and then they would have been different than what was shown on the elevations.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it brief.
Could you take a seat for a moment while public comment is made?
Yep. I'm going to keep it very generic and brief today. Our ARC has significant concerns over the work that has been completed versus what was approved. We think that they should be held to the same standard as everyone else. And we'd like to express support of staff's recommendations as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now we can enter board discussion. Jeff?
This is the most complete flagrant disregard to a set of permit plans and what was built that I've seen in my time on this board. I don't even know what to say about this project.
I think we spent a good deal of time when we initially approved this and looked at the detail,
And I think that it should be followed as we approved.
Kirsten.
Kirsten Connor, can you just pull up the staff recommendations? But I am definitely in agreement about the windows. I think that's a big component of this. And also the vinyl fence, again, as has been stated prior, the district ends on Broad Street. Unfortunately, it doesn't continue as much as I wish it would. But the other houses on the other side of Broad Street are, I mean, they are definitely historic. It's just we don't have purview over it to say you can't put a vinyl fence up. And I will probably have a second comment once I go through the staff recommendations again. Thank you.
Pat Richardson, I wasn't here for the initial ruling of this project, but I have went back since and visited this site several times. And I'm really amazed at how what was approved was not followed. You know, there are a lot of violations in this, and I clearly approve staff's recommendations.
Pam Miller, if you had handed me the plans and asked me to drive down the street and find this house, I wouldn't have been able to identify it at all, really, based on what we approved. And when you come up in front of this group and we approve a plan, it's not a suggestion or an idea of something we want. It's what we approve. And I really want to commend the staff, because when we say, when we approve wood door, we mean wood door, not metal door. Now, does it meet a standard, and then the staff go back and try to find ways to accommodate that? I think they did an amazing job of picking out some things that they could look at under other criteria so that you wouldn't have to replace all of those. However, having said that, there are still some things that were put in place here that cannot and will not meet the standard. And I'm going to stick with the recommendations of the staff about is what they're denying. I think that that is in good order. And again, thank you so much to the staff for the extra hard work you put in to try to make some of this, like Jeff said, nothing about this was what was planned. Thank you.
Trina Hornung, as someone that drives down Broad almost every day, the scale of the windows really, you know, is something that I see every day. And I'm just going to say that I want to stick as well to staff recommendations.
Kathy Levina, I think the staff has been more than generous. I certainly don't believe what was built is visually compatible, especially in regards to the windows. And I say the windows all around, on all facades, as well as the canopies, are not visually compatible. In addition, we haven't even spoke about the front porch and the expression of the piers. The end piers are out of scale, oversized pier expressions, and then there aren't any pier expressions underneath on, if you want to call this arts and craft, if you want to call this bungalow, I'm not sure exactly what style is it, but those piers should be uniform. That not only the wooden piers on top, but the expressions of the piers going all the way down to the ground, it should all be uniform. The railing, like I said, the 4-inch on center balusters concerns me. I would love to get out there with the tape measure, because I don't think it conforms. You can see it. You can see it when you visit the project on site. Again, staff has been more than generous with all of the recommended approvals.
Does anybody have any further comment?
Yeah. We have immense respect for the staff, and I appreciate them trying to work with the applicant on this. I think they've actually gone way too far in what they've agreed to let slide versus what needs to be remediated on this project.
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, I would like to echo all of my the previous board members and what they said, that staff has been very generous with what they're willing to let slide. I am okay with approving staff recommendations. Also, I just wanted to point out the specs are in the old link for the agenda if those need to be pulled up at any point for last year.
Pat Richardson, I stand by my earlier comments.
Darren Bagley-Heath, I'm going to, just to the petitioner, I want you to understand that Jeff rarely ever speaks much to any plans on this board. So the fact that he is displaying such a level of emotion and affront to the plans tells you the severity of the situation we're in. I do commiserate with you all because I know there's no ill will or intent. Nobody ever would go out of their way to do something that is the way it is with this many objections. However, there is little, there are nothing that anybody can do about it. It is what it is. There were plans, there were expectations to maintain the integrity of our historic district and our community. That's why they're there. So unfortunately, you know, it's, I feel bad for you, but I don't think there's much that could be done. And I agree that I think actually the staff has extended a level of courtesy to you all that I wouldn't have been able to show, unfortunately.
Pam Miller, my last comment is that, you know, sometimes they say it's easier to seek forgiveness than ask for approval, but you run the risk there that if you don't do what you're supposed to do and you seek that forgiveness, it's not always going to be given. And in this case, some of the things that you're asking for, just I'm going to have to deny. So I hope that as you move forward, you utilize this staff. As you said, you continue to build homes. And I hope that, again, if you take on more projects, that you use this staff, use the recommendations before you go forward with other things, that you don't find yourself in this position again. I understand the complexities, but thank you.
Karina Hornung, no further comment.
Kathy Lidvina, I would like to add to the denial, the windows on the entire, all the facades. I would like to.
Kathy, you can do that in a motion. And if you're, and that is our prerogative as a board. Okay. If you want to make a motion to discuss or to put that forward as a, you know, a denial, we can do that.
I was just sort of trying to see what I would like to do.
Yeah. So if you want to think for a second.
I would think that the window configurations for all facades as well as the canopy removal, would also add the garage, the carriage house configuration. The double door configuration, I think, needs to be, recreated. Removal of the window, in the installation of a garage door so it reads as a carriage house, not as a secondary structure. Combo carriage house, secondary structure. And those are mine.
Do you want to craft a motion?
Can I have one request real quick? So since there is two sets of dimensions on the plans, I just want clarity on which set I'm going to go with if y'all deny the windows.
Okay, go ahead.
Which is the set of the drawing that goes corresponding to the drawings that you showed us?
So the issue becomes, so is elevation drawings,
yes,
meet this. The ones that are showing the floor plans are the square set. So I just need to know which set to go off of if y'all deny the windows.
Can we ask for a window schedule to go along with that?
Yeah.
I think the elevation drawings look great.
Yeah.
Can we discuss 1/1 versus 2/2? Is that if she prefers 1/1 versus 2/2?
Go ahead, ask.
Is that what you would prefer, 1/1 versus 2/2?
I didn't mention the size of the window, which was 5 on the size.
I think what was being asked was, do you prefer just having a 1/1 window as opposed to a 2/2, which is what the plans, these are 2/2 windows?
Yes, I said I would prefer, as it was installed, I prefer that. And also,
this is not the question. The question, because what we're doing now is crafting a motion of what the board is going to approve or and put forward to staff. So in the recommendation, what the board member is asking you, and this is, we only want you to answer to that question, is because she's going to put forward a motion to change the windows out. Would you, in the plan, it's they're 2/2s, right? Would you prefer that design with the mutton down the middle, or would you prefer them to be clear glass with 1/1s in the replacement windows when you take the ones out that currently exist and put in new ones that meet the standards?
I would prefer 1/1.
1/1. Thank you.
Can I comment before she makes? Okay. I was just curious what the rest of the board thinks about having the applicant have to replace all of the windows.
This is what Kathy's talking about.
Right. I was just hoping to get everyone else's input before we make a motion. Is that possible?
Jeff?
As far
as responding to Kirsten's comment.
Yeah, that's fine. I would go along with that.
We're replacing all windows?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any opinion?
I didn't know. I need to provide the sizes. How old the sizes?
Ma'am, we've had that point of discussion, and we've gone through that part. We've had that discussion with staff and with you, and now we're in board discussion. Thank you.
I think it should be all the windows, not just the second floor, because all of them balance out the house.
Okay. Pat?
For symmetrical look, I agree, all the windows.
Miller, I tend to agree with all the windows. We also have the privacy fence to come down.
Right. Okay.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with all the windows.
So you ready to put together a motion, Kathy? You have one crafted? Okay.
About that?
I move, Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approves the petition. Is that how you do it? Approves the petition of.
Approves the amendment, staff recommendation.
I'm looking for that. The staff recommendation. B?
The second.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I wasn't there yet. Approve the petition of Inna Adams, petition number 24-0002098 at 536 Siler Avenue with the following conditions. Two, the masonry on the front porch. With the following conditions. Number one, number two, number four, number five, number six, number six, period. And deny the petition, deny the amendment to the previous certificate of appropriateness 23-001783-COA for 536 Siler Avenue, for the following changes because the work is not visually compatible and does not meet the standards for fencing and walls, foundation, and windows. Number one, the size of the windows on all the facades. Number two, the vinyl privacy fence. Number three, the hood and canopies added over all exterior secondary doors. Four, the configuration for the front porch foundation. Five, the window configuration. The design of the first floor elevation of the accessory structure facing Siler Street.
What else did you, there was one other in there. Was it number three or was it number three, the canopy hoods?
I'm sorry, I thought I mentioned that. The canopy hoods over all three rear doors on the secondary facades in the first floor of the accessory structure.
Do I have a second?
Jeff Natriga, second it.
Jeff, do you vote?
Jeff Natriga, vote to approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Motion passes. Moving on to the next item. Petition of Leah Spilov. I hope I said that correct. 24002496 COA 211 East 38th Street, rehabilitations and alterations.
So applicants requesting approval to carry out rehabilitation work and to construct a shed at this property. The work includes removal of metal security bars on the doors and windows, the installation of brick pavers on the front porch steps, replacement of handrails on the front porch stairs with wood handrails, removal of select aluminum siding, removal of all aluminum siding and repair and replacement of select wood siding and trim, removal of a handicap ramp and replacement of missing handrail, the replacement of electrical pendant light with gas pendant light, the installation of a shed at the rear of the property, the installation of a ribbon driveway to replace an existing driveway, and the installation of gutters around the home. The applicant is also proposing to paint the primary building and accessory structure, and paint colors are not reviewed in this district. The work on the primary structure does meet the Secretary of Interior standards, visual compatibility standards, and the standards for the district. The only real comment that staff had on this project had to do with the gutters. The applicant at the time did not provide the overall design of the proposed gutters. These were provided this morning and staff will review those. That's applicant is also proposing a shed on the rear of the property. This will be partially be obscured by this little side porch right here. This meets the base zoning requirements and the standards of the district and for visual compatibility. The only element missing is the window information. Based on information the applicant provided this morning, this window may not be visible from the public right away, but we still may want to see what type of window they are using. So with that, staff recommends approval of the rehabilitation work and the construction of a shed at the property located at 211 East 38th Street with the following conditions, because the work is otherwise visually compatible, meets the standards. One is provide additional information on the window and the accessory unit, and two, provide the gutter information, which again was provided this morning. Staff, the board have any questions?
Anybody have any questions for staff? Hearing none, is the petitioner present? Good afternoon. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Leah Spilov. I am the owner and occupier of 211 East 38th Street. I wanted to say thank you for the board for your service and thank you to the staff for all of your help. And if anyone has any questions, I'm here.
Okay. Do you're amenable to the staff recommendations?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner?
I do, simply of curiosity of being a neighbor. Are you going to retain the internal gutter system? Or are you going to put a new system in?
So, not all the gutters were taken down when they redid the roof. We found them under the back porch. So we currently don't have any gutters, but when we do put new gutters up, we're going to keep it mostly in the eaves, so they won't be very visible at all.
Okay.
I hope that's answering your question.
Yeah, really it does. I mean, okay. Just most of those houses, when they were built, had internal...
Oh. Well, then, yes. Into the roof, yes. We'll keep those.
And if they haven't been taken out. So what happens is the inverse, because they come down and it goes up and you don't see it, it just comes down a drain pipe. Whereas if they redone the roof, they may have covered over it and put a board over it. So then you'd have to have the external gutters.
Okay.
That's what she's asking.
Okay.
About.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that look. I do. I would want to keep that.
Just curious.
We have some investigating left to do, so.
It is always a work in progress.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Kirsten Connor, I also think internal gutters are really cool, but obviously, like, that's a lot of work. And if you aren't replacing the roof, it could be quite difficult. That's happened to my house.
Okay.
But I can still see evidence of it. So it's really cool just to think about. Also, I always walk by this house and I really love it. So I'm happy that it's going to get some love.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Pat, any questions?
No comment.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Katrina Warning, no comment.
Kathy Lipana, no comment.
Okay. Is there any member of the public that would like to make a statement? No? We can have board discussion if there's no further questions for...
Do we need to read this letter?
Oh, read the letter? I'm sorry.
Yes.
So we do have a submission from a member of the public. Kelly Mitchell wrote to say... Stephen Thomas, thank you. My name is Stephen Thomas from 210 East 38th Street. I am writing as a neighbor in support of the work that Jared and Leah are doing to their home. Feel free to contact me. I'm not going to give his telephone number out. And so that is a neighbor that is in support. So any board discussion, folks? And if not, let's move forward with the motion. Thank you very much.
Virginia Mobley, I will give an attempt. I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation as written for the petition of 24002496 COA 211 East 38th Street for rehabilitation and alterations, with the staff recommendation to approve the rehabilitation work and construction of a shed on the property at 211 East 38th Street with the following conditions, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, provide staff with additional information on the windows in the accessory building, and 2, provide information on the design of the proposed gutters.
Can I get a second?
Jeff Notarika, second.
Jeff, you vote?
Yes, I vote for approval.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Devine, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving on, we'll go to the petition of AJD Collaborative. Heather Spigner, 24002516 COA, 2450 Montgomery Street. Rehabilitation and alterations.
Thank you. Jonathan Mellon, I'm just going to pull it up here. So the application before you are for a series of alterations to this little building here, which is presently divided up into a number of different commercial spaces. The applicant is proposing to change the fenestration, and I'll go through that. We're just going through the plans. The applicant, I believe, is going to be joining us online. Is Tim, do you have Heather online? Heather? Oh, here. Oh, she's here. Sorry. Heather is here. So I'll let Heather walk you through what, not that we really get into use, but here's some existing photos and a site plan of the site. here's a proposed demolition plan. They're going to be changing. There's kind of a hodgepodge of windows and doors presently on the Montgomery Street elevation. This is the proposed elevation. There really are only minor changes to the secondary elevations. In terms of the standards, all the standards are met in terms of the proposed storefronts, window openings. The one question we had, which I'm sure Heather can answer, is there's this existing interesting sign here that I believe, and she can provide clarification. So I'll just go to the staff recommendation. Approve the request for alterations to the property located at 2415 Montgomery Street with the following conditions because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Provide additional information on the proposed size, design, and illumination of the restored or in-kind replacement projecting sign to make sure that it meets the standards. So we just had a question about what was going to be, and they may be coming in under a separate application, the signage, but it can't be internally illuminated the way it was done historically. We're not even sure when it dates from. But otherwise, staff is recommending approval. Of course, answer any questions or if you'd like to hear from Heather's here.
Any questions for staff? No, if the
applicant. All right, I'll turn it over to the applicant.
Please state your name for the record.
Heather Spagner, AD Collaborative. Hi.
It's AI Collaborative. I saw I said it wrong.
AD Collaborative.
AD. AD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Jonathan. We agree with staff recommendations. As far as the signage, we haven't discussed doing in lighted signage, but we haven't fleshed out the details for the signage quite yet. So that we can definitely come to staff and discuss what we want to propose in the end. The intent was to work with, we liked the client likes the hanging sign. And so we wanted to try and keep it or if it's damaged beyond repair to replace it in kind. So once we get into demolition, we will get to that. The building is currently occupied by a tenant. So we're trying to be mindful of that until they move out to start any demolition work and repair work.
Cool. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Hearing none, is there any public comment?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC believes that this building adds character to the district, although it's listed as non-contributing, and that the storefront configuration is a character-defining feature. We'd like it if the petitioner and the board would reconsider retaining the intended wood material and the intended design and seal the additional entrances that they're not planning on using versus the complete elimination of all of those elements.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, we will now enter board discussion. Kathy?
Kathy Levana, I am in agreement with Historic Savannah Architectural Review Committee. I think the wood adds a lot of warmth to the building. I think the existing storefront certainly has character that contributes to the neighborhood.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with Historic Savannah Foundation's determination. I was also going to add that when it came to our comments.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Jeff Nutrika, no comment.
Any other discussion that we need to move forward with?
Can we ask the applicant?
Please do.
Can the applicant come up? Heather. How would you and the owner feel about revising the storefront to be more in kind with what's already there?
Are you just talking about the wood frame or in lieu of the aluminum?
The configuration of the windows and door openings.
I'd have to discuss with the client, but in the end, the goal of this is to reduce the entrances to one entrance in lieu of three.
You are even making like one of the two other ones non-functioning, but retaining that shadow or that impression that they are an entrance, even if they're not. That was, I think, the architectural review committee from HSF's proposal.
Again, I'd have to ask my client. I feel like what we've done, what we're proposing, is not that drastic of a change. We've actually, we're infilling at the bottom of the doors and still trying to keep the rhythm of the storefront similar to what is existing. So I don't think we are stepping too far out of what is there currently. Again, we're just making slight modifications to provide one main entry in lieu of three. I do hear the board on the materiality. Again, I can go back to my client to ask the question. However, we did propose aluminum because it's not a requirement to keep with that and the ease of maintaining it, and also because the client would like them painted black.
Okay, so in a situation like this, typically, because your client isn't here and you can't ask them in on the fly.
Correct.
We would suggest a continuance with that discussion to move forward. So, to move it to next month and then say, okay, let's discuss that so we can come up with a concrete answer and a situation that's going to be workable for your client. And
I mean, it comes down to the question of we propose what the client would like to do. This
right,
is what we're
right,
proposing.
Exactly.
So if you guys are asking if we're willing to change it, that's what the discussion will be. If
that
we're
would be
willing
that
to
would
go
be,
back.
Exactly.
And
that's, exactly. So that's what we need to come up with. But would that be, would you be amenable to that if we came up with a suggestion, you go back and we continue it to the next meeting?
I mean, in good faith, I mean, I will have a conversation with my client. Okay. I would say
We do hear Roger Winters online. Is that the client?
Yes.
Okay. He would like to speak. Is it allowed?
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, thank you everyone for letting me speak. I hope to bring some clarity. Based on the intended use of the facility, we would very much like to keep with the plan that we've put forward for utilization and flow of the space for the interior layout that we'll be converting the space to.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner who is online at this moment in time?
Yes. So just to clarify, so are you okay with changing it out to the wood storefronts? Or, because I guess that does not affect your interior layout?
It does affect our ability to keep to the plan that we put forward. And aluminum is going to be much easier to maintain over the life of the property. So the wood that's there is entirely rotted out and not exposed. So I would put forth that moving to aluminum wouldn't dramatically change the look or feel of the storefront.
Okay, so you're okay with the change?
No, I'm saying I would prefer to keep with the materials that we put forward in the proposal.
So I'm confused though. So you're saying that switching from aluminum to wood would affect the functionality and your use of the building?
No, but for the long-term ownership of the property, I would prefer aluminum, which is what we chose when we put the plan together.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, thanks so much for being online. I think it's super helpful to have you here, so we hopefully don't have to continue this. As far as I understand your point about aluminum and the wood, it does look pretty bad in these photos. The configuration though of the windows and doors that are currently there, how does that affect the functionality on the interior? I was looking at the floor plans and I didn't really notice how it would affect that, if that's your reasoning for not wanting to go back with that kind of configuration. Can you explain that?
Yeah, ideally to seal some of those exterior doors and keep the former entryways, you know, we'd have to seal that off so that those office spaces would have a significantly reduced, you know, lighting input into the inside of the structure. You know, it's going to be a single use business that is my own business. And it really, it doesn't meet the feel and flow of the operation that I'm going to be running out of that office space.
So I think you're misconstruing the intent of what the board is asking. They don't need the doors that they're asking you to. So the facade, it's the appearance of the doors being there without actually having functional doors in place, still only having one entrance that is functional, but maintaining the historic look of the front of it. So it looks like it still has three entrances, but it actually you only have one functional entrance.
I do completely understand the intent of the request, and okay. I'm amenable to it. I love historic Savannah for the look and feel of the town. But to, again, maintain the old doors,
Not even maintain the doors, just maintain that shape and that, you know, a door there that is a non-functioning door. Doesn't have to be the actual door, yes.
I do understand. I do understand the request.
Okay.
I would still, and with due respect, I would like to comply, but I really believe it's much better for the fit and finish of the end product and our use of that space to stick to the plan that we put forth today.
Anybody else have any contributions?
For whatever it's worth, I think wood would be a much better, warmer feel. I understand there's a little more maintenance with it, but it certainly is more in keeping with what's there. And it sounds like there's really no practical functional impact.
Kirsten Connor, also to the point of lighting, whether or not you were to keep those doors or replace them with something similar, they would have a light inside of them, so... you're not completely removing all the light from that space. As well, when you think about, you know, reuse of a historic building, keeping the historic features that have, you know, characteristics to them that add that historic feeling to that building, I think it also adds to the interior of the space. So you know the original layout or... You know, I don't see how it would necessarily detract from the functions of the interior. I guess that's more of a comment, not a question, but if you're more than welcome to respond to that.
Okay. Anybody else?
I do have a question. Pardon me. Oh. If you are requesting to keep the doors on the exterior, as they are existing, in the proposed elevation, is there any opposition to, just as there is if you're facing the building on the left-hand side there, I've carried that that rhythm over to the right-hand side. Is there any opposition to that? And that's similar to what we've proposed, other than just infilling at the bottom of the doors. Does that make sense?
It's hard to go back to.
So on the proposed elevation, the two proposed storefronts, we now had four lights with four lights above. So what I'm saying is, could you go back to the photo existing? So this has five with five, and then on the other side, it would also be, I'd still probably change this rhythm because we want to keep the existing double door entry.
So I'm just asking, like, is there opposition against that rhythm that we're, that you guys are requesting by keeping these doors? If we do, if we are required to keep the doors, that's something that I would look into as far
right,
as.
So like where the HVAC above the door would be a light and where you currently
yes.
got, right,
yes.
exactly. And then mm-hmm. lights over those other three
yes.
windows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Kirsten Connor, I'm so sorry. Can you just briefly explain that again? I'm a little confused. Just so
in the existing building on the left-hand side where you have the wall-mounted HVAC units, those are replacing lights. So they've removed the lights above those. So it's basically a 5x5 within that whole storefront, including the door. So on the right side, we would want to do similar. That's what we're proposing currently, is to bring that rhythm of 4x4 to the other side, but it would change slightly if we were to keep the existing
door
doors.
And put the light in where the
yes.
window HVAC is currently.
So that would be a light, and then I'd want to carry a mullion across also to mimic the other side. But I'd have to look at that. That would be something I would discuss with my client and design, redesign.
Kirsten Connor, okay, I get what you're saying. Thank you for re-explaining that. For the double doors there,
mm-hmm.
so you would put another light over that. So how would that make the doors shorter? Like, how would that work?
Yes. Currently, those doors are 8 feet tall, so they're larger than average. So we could definitely play within the existing opening to create that, which is what we've proposed currently on the design. So there's really not much change from what we're proposing other than you are requesting to keep, there's been a request and a point made to consider keeping the doors. So I'm just talking it through to hopefully try and avoid a continuance. That if we did come back, that's something we would just play with the pattern of the storefronts with the existing doors if it's not approved to infill.
Right. I appreciate that you working to compromise with us. Thank you.
So to clarify, excuse me, Kathy Levina, you would do a 5-bay rhythm, correct?
Yes.
On both facades, both storefronts.
Yes.
And you would maintain the northern door, except keep it stationary?
If you're asking to maintain the other two doors in addition.
You would keep the storefront design on the northern portion, essentially. Yes?
It's similar. Mm-hmm. I would add a top row of lights. I would divide the storefront similar to what's on the left. The three.
Okay. I'm saying north. You're saying left. Yes.
That's actually south.
Okay. My bad.
The left is south.
Sure. I see. I'm wrong way. I gotcha.
I just have it.
Okay. right. So you would take that existing storefront and then utilize it on the north.
I mean, it's
the 5-bay.
Yeah,
with the two door. Double
it would
doors.
Be replaced in the existing storefront opening. So that's what we'd have to work with is, and then having the door. It just opens up a lot more questions about the design. Like, are you asking us to keep a wood door? Because these are all wood doors that are horribly damaged. Are you looking also open to us putting in, like, glass doors? It changes the look of the building, what you're asking. And I understand what we've done changes the look of the building slightly. So I'm just trying – this is not a design forum. I'm just trying to understand your position so that I can go back to my client if this is a request that we can look through this.
This is Pam Miller. So what you're saying then is that these are ideas that you could bring forward.
Yes.
So we should probably look at a continuance for next month to give you that opportunity
If you're not open to approving how we've presented now, then I think we are going to end up in a continuance. Yes.
Thank you.
And I would just note for the record, we applied the standards. This is a non-contributing building. So the standards we applied, it meets the standards because it's not a contributing building. Now, whether you disagree with that and you think this should be a contributing building, it's not a contributing building. So what the applicant is proposing does meet the standards for a non-contributing building. I just wanted to be clear about that.
And sorry, John. Mm-hmm. And to make one statement, just because I'm I'm saying this does not mean my client is agreeing to it. I'm saying I will have the conversation with him. I don't feel we should have that design conversation while he's on the phone in front of you. But I do feel if you are not in agreement, we can have that conversation and I can come back and either present it as we presented already and stand forth or with minor changes or with more changes.
Does anybody have any further comment?
I do, Pam Miller. Just one. I mean, I appreciate that you're willing to do this and I appreciate what you said, Jonathan, that this is a non-contributing. So we really don't have to do any of this, but because we do have some questions about it, if you are willing to do that, I mean, I think you would like to have it as it is, but.
I will say, if I may, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
For interrupting. My client is on the phone. So if he would like to weigh in on if he is open to it, because I'm speaking without speaking to him. So as Jonathan mentioned, we have proposed a design that meets your ordinance and your standards with the one comment regarding the signage. So I will defer to him for if he would like to move forward with how we presented, if you have no objections, or if we'd like a continuance to come back and discuss more.
This is the client. May I speak?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. It remains our strong preference to move forward with the plans that we put forward if the board is amenable to approving those.
Thank you. So we've got one more opportunity to have a discussion on this, board members. Kathy.
Public comment? Did we do public comment?
We did public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just did that a while back. Kathy?
Kathy Lidvina, I'm still thinking. Continue,
okay.
Please.
I'll come back to you.
Katrina Hornung, as this is a non-contributing building, I would like to go with the staff recommendations for myself. Thank you.
Pam, any further discussion?
Pam Miller, no further discussion.
Pat?
Pat Richardson, no further discussion.
Kirsten? Kirsten? I always say it wrong. I'm sorry. It's terrible. Every time I try and do it, I do it wrong way
around. It's okay. It's okay. It's your accent. It's fine.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Kirsten Connor, I understand it's a non-contributing building. With the proposed design, it does take a lot of character away, but also it is thoughtful to the character, which I appreciate that thoughtfulness. So, I mean, I'm swinging one way, but I'm going to leave it up to the rest of the board to kind of lead this decision.
While I understand that it is a non-contributing structure, every building that exists today, whether it was built 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, contributes to the value of the neighborhood. And I would hope that we would appreciate that value. So that's my comment.
Nothing to add other than what we've already discussed about the issue if we're going to ask for wood or aluminum.
Kathy Lidvina, again, I understand it is a non-contributing building. However, there are a lot of buildings in the district that are slated as non-contributing, and we know that National Register nomination has not been updated in quite some time, right? So that all being said, the building certainly contributes to the neighborhood. It's wonderful that they're trying to put it to a highest and best use. The wood, I believe, does add a warmth. I think it certainly adds depth. The rhythm of the storefront certainly adds to the character walking along the street. I would hope that that would not be mimicked, but would be replicated as best as possible. The materiality is certainly affects the character of that property. The design pays homage to it, but it certainly diminishes
I believe, the character of the property.
Any further comment, folks? Pat?
I wasn't going to say anything, but I am going to say it. I'm going to go there. Having went and visited this building on site, this building contributes not only to the historical value of the city of Savannah, but the African-American community. There's a sign on that building or a sticker on that building where it has ILA, and I think it's on that barbershop, which signifies one of our longest contributing viable workforces in the city of Savannah. So, you know, to take totally away from that and completely change the structure of that building is kind of like taking away not just from the history of Savannah, but the African-American history, too. So I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, that's a, you know, really interesting piece of history. And I really appreciate you bringing that up. And again, like, I wish this was a contributing building. And I am for making the recommendation to, as we discussed prior, to change the configuration of the windows to be more in kind with what is there right now. I just don't know how much sway we have that for that being a non-contributing building. Maybe, Jonathan, can you answer to that?
I mean, you can argue that the proposed changes are not visually compatible. And so, I mean, you do have some flexibility there in terms of. I just wanted to make clear that we are bound by, we can't say what our personal preference is, whether I like this building or I don't like this building. We have to go by the ordinances. And because it's non-contributing, we applied standards for a non-contributing building.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Jeff Intrigan, nothing to add to it.
Okay, at this point, we'll entertain a motion.
Captain Labana, can you put the maybe the storefront standards up on the screen? And this maybe, and as well as the standards for non-contributing buildings, or I really need to sort of actually have mine.
Storefronts, new construction, alterations to non-contributing resources and additions. Materials. Storefronts shall be constructed of wood, cast iron, carrier glass, glass block, tile, aluminum, steel, or copper as part of a glazed storefront system. Standard is met. Storefront windows are supposed to be metal. And then it gets into the storefront bases that we talked about again. The configuration about being inset. Glazing being transparent. So if you were talking about a contributing building, which is not the case here, we would have applied a different set of standards.
So, Jonathan, Virginia Mobley.
Yes, Virginia.
There are no standards addressing the material of the facade, just the windows and openings.
No, there are standards for alterations to non-contributing buildings in terms of they weren't proposing to change the material of the facade. They're changing it
if they're removing the wood.
Well, but that falls under the storefronts. So that's why we apply the storefront standards. I thought you meant they're not changing it from a brick building to a wood frame building.
No. But I mean, they are changing components of the structure, not just, I mean.
Correct. And as you can see here, for non-contributing resources, a storefront can meet, as long as it meets one of these standards. If this were a contributing building, we would have applied the Secretary of the Interior standards, which would have been totally different. We would have been having a totally different discussion where we would have said, historically, the storefronts were wood, therefore the replacement storefronts should be wood.
Oh, I understand that, but so, we're talking about a non-contributing resource.
Correct. So they can put in an aluminum storefront system in a non-contributing building. If it were a contributing building, we would have said, well, the original storefronts were wood. You should, as you've probably seen on Broughton Street and elsewhere, if we know that what they were historically, we then want them to be wood.
The standards do not have anything that say, talk about removing parts of that structure.
No, because we don't apply this. Normally, when we get into removing historic material, you're talking about a contributing building. It's like with windows. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but
it's a non-contributing building. I mean, they could propose to demolish it.
Yeah.
And take the whole thing down. So removing windows, now.
So we're really in the hands of the owner.
Right. We can only apply the ordinances that are applicable to a non-contributing building.
Oh, there you go. So we cleared up our questions. Are we ready to put forward a motion?
Nothing you can say about visual compatibility.
Well, there's nothing I know exactly, so.
Ms. Pam Miller, I'm going to go ahead and submit a motion I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of AD Collaborative, Heather Spigner, 24002516 COA, 2415 Montgomery Street, as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Katrina Horner, I second the motion.
Okay. Jeff?
I have a question, though. Were you also approving number one?
Correct.
Okay.
Jeff Gentrica, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved with reservation.
Kirsten Connor, deny.
Pat Richardson, deny.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kathy Levine, deny.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay. Number 13 on the agenda, petition of Green Line Architecture, Eric O'Neill, 24002521, COA 411 West 41st Street. Amendment 2, 22003175 COA.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. So hopefully we will end on a easy note here. This is just a proposed amendment to change remove these existing non-historic wood windows that are on the second floor of this rear porch. If I zoom out a little bit. See, slide elevation here. It's at the back of the house. And what is being proposed? I believe the applicant is here. So what they're proposing to do is have it be a screened-in porch. So in terms of our recommendation, staff is recommending approval for the request for an amendment to 22-003175 COA for alterations to the rear porch of the property located at 411 West 44th Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And just to expand on that, we all know Savannah, many other cities, having a screened-in second-story porch. See that all over the city. They're not removing original historic fabric. So we felt it was a very compatible alteration. It's on the rear elevation of the house as well. The applicant is here and can probably describe it a little bit better why they made this decision. If you don't have any questions for me, you can introduce.
Good afternoon. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric O'Neill with Green Line Architecture. We, of course, are in agreement with the staff's recommendation for approval. I did just want to add that this project is also going for federal tax credits. Sarah Ward with Ward Preservation has been assisting the owners with that process, and she's reached out to the State Historic Preservation Office for their thoughts on this, and they're also in agreement with this amendment to the rear porch.
Thank you. All right, folks, any questions for staff or for the petitioner? Is there any, hearing none, I'm going to ask, is there any public comment? No public comment. Any online? Okay. Board discussion. Jeff?
No comment. Looks good to me.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff.
Pam Miller, I agree with staff.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Kathleen Bynum, no comment.
Okay, so I guess we're going to have a motion. Somebody want to put one forward?
Take us home. All right, I'll take us home.
Take me home.
All righty. I move that the Historic Preservation Committee approve the petition of Green Lion Architecture, Eric O'Neill, 24002521 COA. 411 West 41st Street, amendment to 22003175 COA. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition as submitted, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Pat Richardson approved.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, Pat. Kathy?
Kathy Levine approved.
Katrina Hornung approved.
Pam Miller approved.
Pat Richardson approved.
Kirsten Connor approved.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Jeff Nondriga approved.
Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you. So, approved staff reviews. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of staff regarding the approved staff reviews?
Yes.
Okay.
2305 Abercorn, 24002478. Are we actually getting the vinyl windows replaced with the appropriate windows?
I'll let Kelly answer that.
Yes, ma'am. So this was a code compliance case where codes have found it, and the applicant is willing to replace the vinyl with wood, at least windows that were.
That were there originally.
Not originally. So some of those windows, it's a duplex situation.
Yeah.
So some of those windows were pre-overlays. So we're not requiring those to be removed. But there were some that he replaced last couple months that we were trying to remove. So just the ones he recently replaced are being.
When you say recently, what time frame?
Last couple months.
Pardon?
Last couple months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, since some of them were there pre-overlay, we can't force them to replace all of them. It was just the ones that
actually they were replaced after the ordinance went into place. He just has drug it out. But that's fine. A little bit is better than none.
Okay. There a motion to acknowledge the approved staff reviews? Pat, do you want to make a motion to approve?
How about a motion that we approve stat reviews?
Can I get a second?
Virginia Mobley, second.
Okay. Do we have to vote on that? We don't, do we? Or do we? No vote. Okay, good. Any notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements? So we have 26 inspections completed by staff, the May report, and the stamp drawing report for May. Okay. Any other business? Is there any additional business? Hearing none. None from staff, none from us.
Happy with Vina.
Yes.
Quick other business. It was discussed in the
subcommittee
meeting that under other business, we have to propose potential topics for our subcommittee meetings.
Okay.
And I thought that we had discussed prior to talk about the solar.
It's solar and the other one that had come up was regarding gates, right? We had a petition with the new jinx regarding the gate issue. And
yes.
And there was
thank you, Darren.
Something that we wanted to bring up and discuss as far, because it doesn't make sense that you can have open patio areas where people can wander around on the street. Just, I think that's something that we need to move forward.
We came up with Kevin's project with the gate.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
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 To yep. On the agenda
items. Solar and gates.
Thank you. And thank you for the solar as well. Okay. So with that in mind, and thank you for bringing that up, Kathy, there's no other business to address today. I'm going to have somebody make a motion to adjourn.
So made. Pam Miller.
Motion to adjourn. Okay, we're done. Thank you all very much, folks.
Thank you for your time.
See you all next month.